Let us pray. Gracious, eternal God, our Father, we do come now realizing, Lord, that we need you. We thank you for your presence in this place. Lord, as you have been with us, singing of the songs of Zion, you have been with us in the giving of offerings. You have been with us in the telling of our stories. Be with us now in the proclamation of your holy word. Lord, somebody needs to hear from you. Somebody needs to be touched by you. Somebody needs to be lifted by you. Somebody needs to be encouraged by you. So by the power of your Holy Spirit, speak now, touch now, lift now, bless now. In the name of Jesus, I do ask and pray. Amen. Certainly give honor to God for his presence in this place, to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and to the Holy Spirit, our comforter and guide. We do give honor, glory, and praise. We certainly thank God for our music ministry blessing us and lifting our hearts in praise and song. Thank you, Deacon McCollum. Thank you, choir. Amen. On this first Sunday in January 2015, we pray God's blessing on you and happy new year to all of you who I did not see this year. Certainly thank God for all of these, my cleric colleagues who join me on the rostrum as well as in the pew. To all of you, my sisters and brothers, grace and peace be unto you all from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. It's good to be here. Sisters and brothers, there are people scattered across the length and the breadth of our nation and around the globe who are seemingly having nothing for which to be thankful. They live amongst war-torn nations, famine, AIDS, and Ebola-ravaged continents, impoverished drug-filled communities, and are among some of the most oppressed people in the world. If they believe in God, and some of them do, I'm sure that on many occasions they have called on God to deliver them and rescue them from their crisis. And for whatever reason, it may appear that God delayed coming or answering their prayers. Just look around in our city, in our neighborhoods, in our families, and perhaps even in our church, there are many people who are part of the household of faith who are experiencing dire straits, dreadful conditions, and desperate circumstances. Some of them have been indoctrinated by the current day Christology and theology that says if you just call, God will answer immediately and automatically. They have been led to believe that there is some credence and some credibility to the name it and claim it way of life. And I've even heard some of them there say that God doesn't have a choice. He has to answer because of his word. And if you just remind God of what the word says, he has to answer. But every now and again, even in the lives of believers, it seems in times of strenuous stress, in moments of turbulence and trials, we say a prayer, we call on God, we make a petition, we send out a plea, and in our tradition, we send up some timber. And there seems to be no immediate response or answer from the Lord. We pray what we know to pray, calling on him in whom we know to call, asking for what we seem to need, and it seems like something or nothing happens. Have you ever been there? Have you ever been down that road? Have you ever had to drink from that cup? It is in times like these when it seems our prayers have gone unanswered, that we can begin to waver in our faith, doubt the sincerity of our Savior, and stand on the brink of losing hope, losing ground, and losing faith. But contrary, sisters and brothers, to what some may have been taught or led to believe about God in prayer, sometimes God will allow us to go there, to that place of silence where there appears to be no comforting voice, no immediate response, and seemingly no answer to our cries, our pleas, our petitions, or our prayers. In that place, in the midst of our trials and troubles, it seems like we don't hear a peep out of God. Sometimes the Lord will allow us to go there, isn't that right? If you don't believe me, ask Mary and Martha, whose brother Lazarus was sick, in the 11th chapter of John's Gospel. They sent word to the Master, Jesus. Am I right about it? They sent a word. Jesus did not come right away. They sent a word, and Jesus took his time. They sent a word, and Jesus waited. They sent a word, and Jesus stopped by Judea on his way to their house. Yes, they sent a word, and by the time Jesus arrived, Lazarus had already had his funeral service. Have you ever sent up a prayer and felt like God was taking too long? Mary and Martha did. Just listen to them as they talked to Jesus in chapter 11, verses 21 and 22. According to the New King James rendering, you will find these words. Now, Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." Verse 32, "Then when Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying, 'Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died.'" Sisters and brothers, I want to ask you to ponder the question, how long is too long when you're waiting on the Lord? Thank you, ushers. How long is too long when you're waiting on the Lord? John, the writer of this text, by occupation was a fisherman. He was a son of Zebedee, and he, along with his brother James and Peter, were part of Jesus' inner circle. John was with Jesus on the mountain of Transfiguration while Jesus had a conference call with Moses and Elijah. John was in the Garden of Gethsemane with Jesus on the night that he was betrayed and arrested. And it was John that Christians believe took care of Jesus' mother after the crucifixion. Sisters and brothers, John's Gospel cuts to the chase and recognizes Jesus as God and God as Jesus. That's why he writes, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." This is the most theological gospel of the four, and it deals with the nature and the person of Jesus and faith in him. John's gospel is different from the others. It contains no parables, only 7 miracles, 5 of which are not recorded anywhere else. And John emphasizes the physical actuality of Jesus Christ. Jesus was hungry. He did get thirsty. He was weary. He felt pain. He wept. And he actually died. But I thank God that wasn't the end of the story. Sisters and brothers, this 11th chapter is full of the glorious goodness of God's grace. It overflows with God's mercy and God's power to do exceedingly abundant above all that we could ask or think. And this story that only John records abounds with the wonderful nature of God, even when we find ourselves staring in the face of the harsh realities of life. God is able. Do I have a witness yet? I must confess that there's a lot of messages that we can take from the story. And I struggled with where to begin, but let us look together at the beginning. Mary and Martha both send word to Jesus about their brother Lazarus, who was gravely ill. In other words, he was on his deathbed. And even though it's not stated, you can tell by what they said that they expected a quick response from the Master. Jesus, the one you love, is ill. Perhaps they figured when Jesus got the message, he was going to drop everything and head straight to Bethany where Lazarus was. But when Jesus got the message from them, he understood Lazarus' condition, the urgency of the moment, but he still took his time. Sometimes y'all know God does take his time. Mary and Martha were waiting for a quick response to their request, and Jesus decided to stay two more days. Mary and Martha were expecting Jesus to change his itinerary and come straight to Bethany, but instead Jesus decided to go through Judea. They sent word and waited, and by the time Jesus arrived, Lazarus had been in the grave 4 days. They waited on the Lord, and it appears he took entirely too long. Isn't that right? Have you ever prayed a prayer and wondered if God heard you because it took so long for him to answer or come? What happens and what do you do when God does not come right away? Mary and Martha waited there, and as they waited, their hopes slowly vanished. They waited, and their expectation rapidly faded. They waited, and their faith in the Master coming soon waned. They waited, church, and the Lord did not come for them on time. They waited, and their brother Lazarus finally died. How long is too long when you're waiting on the Lord? Y'all praying with me? Well, Jesus finally made it to Bethany, and they led him to the tomb, thinking he is perhaps going there to pay his final respects. The miraculous dramatic scene at the tomb was preceded by a moving narrative concerning Lazarus, the brother of Mary and Martha, Jesus' friend, who had become deathly ill. The text lets us know he was a native of Bethany. And as Jesus took his time, Lazarus grew worse. All of the old other home remedies, treatments, and makeshift cures failed. So Mary and Martha sent word to the Master. Jesus, your friend, is sick. John illustrates the closeness and intimacy shared between Mary and Jesus by identifying her as the woman who anointed his feet with oil and wiped them off with her hair. It's clear that she had an adoring affection for the Master, because today, brothers and sisters, we can hardly get anybody to wipe anybody's feet with a towel, let alone with their hair. She and her sister Martha both loved Jesus, and Jesus loved them, but he still took his time. As Lazarus got worse, they sent an intimate telegram that simply read, "Jesus, the one you love, is sick." They sent a message, they sent a letter, they sent a plea, they sent a petition, they sent a prayer, and they waited on the Lord. Jesus knew them well. He had been in their home on many occasions and had enjoyed their company. Has Jesus ever been in your house? Have you ever invited him in? Some people only invite Jesus to their house when they want something, or when they tried everything else and everything else has failed. Well, I guess that's all right if you listen to that song. When you tried everything and everything else has failed, try Jesus. That's when they call on the Lord. They called on him. They invite him over when they're sick. They invite him over when they're in trouble, when they're down to their last dime, on their last round, down to their last chance, last hope, down to their last days. But as soon as everything is all right, they act like they don't need Jesus no more. But like a songwriter said, "I need thee every hour, most precious Lord." Hallelujah. But not Mary and Martha. or their brother Lazarus, they always had out the welcome mat for Jesus. And he could come and go as he pleased. So they sent word and they waited on the Lord. They sent word and God had other plans. They sent a word and God had other intentions. They sent a word and God had another agenda. They sent a word and God was operating on his own time. They sent a word and God was moving according to his own will. They sent word and Jesus took his time. Have you ever prayed and felt like the Lord was taking his time? What was perhaps at work in the story? Well, I believe Jesus received the word from Mary and Martha. But he also got a word from his Father. That word said, come quickly. But God's word said, wait a few days. That word said, today. But God's word said, tomorrow. That word was urgent. But God's word was peace and calm. That word said, hurry. But God's word said, take your time. That word said, come and do it right now. But God's word said, wait, because I'm getting ready to perform a miracle. That word said, tomorrow may be too late. But God's word said, when I get there, it's always right on time. I think some of the elders evidently were familiar with the lesson. And that's why we could often hear them saying, God may not come when you want him, but he's always on time. My grandmama used to say that. My mama used to say that. And now I say it. Ain't the Lord all right? When their brother Lazarus got sick, they sent word, perhaps by messenger, to Jesus and waited for him to come. They knew that if Jesus came, everything would be all right. Have you ever had to wait on something or someone and for whatever reason it seemed like it was taking too long? You waited and it seemed like you were left hanging or dangling or out on a limb. As times went by, your hopes, your expectations, and your trust begin to dwindle. I'm sure most of us have heard that patience is a virtue. Do I have a witness yet? Biblically speaking, patience is considered one of the fruit of the Spirit. And truth is, it's most often developed in the fiery furnace of affliction. Not only do most people not want to wait, but also most of us don't want to suffer either. Isn't that right? We want it when we want it. And most of the time, that's right now. Not tomorrow, not next week, not next month, not next year, but right now. Like yesterday. When we are not willing, sisters and brothers, to wait on the Lord, we dine on the plate of unrealistic desires. And we feed our minds and our thought unrealistic expectations. Some of us think it should have happened yesterday, last week, last month, last year. And because it did not happen when we wanted it to happen, we squeeze God right out of the picture. We think this can't be God because God never takes this long. But I'm here to tell you, delay does not mean denial when it comes to God. Because nothing can frustrate the will of God. Nothing can stop the plans of God. Nothing can hold back the power of God. And nothing can restrict, hamper, or hinder God's ultimate purposes for victory and deliverance in our lives. It may take a while, but God is able. And he knows what he's doing. And when he shows up, it will be on time. Writer of that old gospel tune evidently knew this and wrote, you can't hurry God. You just have to wait. You have to trust him and give him your time, no matter how long he takes. He's a God you can't hurry. He'll be there, don't you worry. You can't hurry God. You just have to wait. So sisters and brothers, we have to be willing to wait on the Lord. Now when we are waiting, some things may happen in the meantime that make us doubt that the Lord has even heard our prayers. But we still have to wait. God is Lord of everything, even over time. He is the Lord of the living, and he has power over the dead. He is God of yesterday, today, and tomorrow. He reigns over all the nations of the earth. But not only that, he's the Lord of all creation. So it's good for us to wait. Now, waiting can be a difficult prospect, especially when you are in trouble, or when you're sick, or when you're hurting, or when you are in pain, when you are lonely, when you are discouraged, and when you are experiencing trials, tribulations, and heartaches. But I stop by here to tell you, wait on the Lord. Because God will, yes, he will. He will show up on time. Well, Jesus showed up. And for Mary and Martha, it looked like it was too late. Because Lazarus was already dead. But Jesus is the resurrection and the life. He has power over the grave. And Jesus is our hope of glory. Lazarus was in the tomb. But Jesus is the Alpha and Omega. Lazarus' body had begun to decay. But Jesus has power in heaven, and he has power on earth. And because of his power, no circumstance can restrict him. No adversity can hinder him. No situation can constrain him. No power can control him. No enemy can defeat him. No obstruction can block him. And no force can limit him from fulfilling his own desire and accomplishing his will. Mary and Martha sent word, and Jesus took his time. But when Jesus got there to the grave, he merely said, Lazarus, come forth. And a man dead for 4 days walked up out of the tomb. And Jesus told them to loose the man and let him go. He was on time. Maybe you're facing a dead situation, but I'm here to tell you God is able and he will show up right on time. Ain't the Lord all right? Really all right? Well, as I close, there's a story about a little boy who one day was trying to lift a very heavy rock, but he couldn't budge it. He had tried over and over, but he still couldn't move it. His father was passing by and stopped to watch his son try to move the heavy stone. Finally, he said to his son, son, are you using all of your strength? His exasperated young son cried out, yes, dad, I am. His father calmly said, no, you're not, son. You haven't asked me for help yet. The young boy had been trying to move the stone all day. But when his daddy showed up, and with the help of his father, he was able to move the stone. And that's what I want to leave you with. Sisters and brothers, with God, all things are possible. With Jesus on our side, we can say like Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Sisters and brothers, when your hope is in the Lord, you can say like the singer Dottie People said, he's an on-time God. Yes, he is. No matter what we are facing in our lives, no matter how bad it may be, if we put our trust and faith in God, he will see us through every problem, through every difficulty, through every adversity, through every frustration, through every sleepless night, through every deep valley, through every pain, over every high mountain, through every lonely hour. If we just wait on the Lord, he will show up. It may not be when we want him, but he will show up on time. Ain't the Lord all right? I believe I have some witnesses. If Joseph were here, he could tell you he may not have come before I ended up in a ditch, ended up in slavery, or ended up in prison. But God showed up on time. David would tell you, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and answered him out of all of his troubles. On time. Abraham would tell you, I was about to offer Isaac, but God showed up with a ram in the bush right on time. Daniel would tell you, I ended up in a lion's den, but God showed up and I came out on time. The three Hebrew boys could tell you they ended up in a fiery furnace, but God showed up and they came out right on time. And Mary and Martha could tell you, he did not come when they wanted him, but he answered their prayers right on time. Pastor, when it looks bad, what are you doing? I'm waiting on the Lord. When it looks dismal, what are you doing? I'm waiting on the Lord. Pastor, what's your solution? Wait on the Lord. Why should we wait? Because the word says, they that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as an eagle. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. I'm waiting because the word says, wait on the Lord and be of good courage, and he will strengthen your heart. I'm waiting on the Lord because the psalmist wrote, I waited patiently on the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the muck and mire, and placed my feet on a solid rock and established my going. He put a song in my mouth. What's your song? Father, I stretch my hand to thee. No other help I know. If thou withdraw thyself from me, Lord, whether shall I go? He put a song in my heart. What's your song? Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine, heir of salvation, purchase of God, born
sound of his spirit, washing his blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day. Right on time, put a song in my mouth. What's your song? We've come this far by faith, leaning on the Lord, trusting in His holy word. He never failed us yet. Ain't He all right? Ain't He all right? He put a song in my heart. What's your song? I will bless the Lord at all times. In praises shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad.
But while you're waiting, but while, sisters and brothers, you're waiting, and I don't know what you're waiting for, but remember, we walk by faith and not by sight. Remember, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. How long is too long when you're waiting on the Lord? God's never late. He will show up. And when He shows up, it will be on time. The doors of the church are open. Is there one today? Is there one? He'll show up. He'll meet you right where you are.